Good afternoon. I'm Joe Vicnicki, back for the local news department. This is Borough Business. It's our call-in show, and I'm joined in the studio today by Borough Assembly members Kurt Wallhuter, Jay Stanton Greger. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks, Joe.
Can you hear me through your headphones okay? And all right, good to go. So you guys have a lot to talk about, not quite as much as the Board of Fish in Sitka, but still a big agenda for today. And let's dive right in. A couple of new ordinances to look at for tonight, things you've been talking about, but this is the first time we've seen the actual draft ordinance form for you guys to vote on. One of them is a fee for cruise ship passengers, and the other would be an administrative fee for seniors to get their sales tax exemption card. Kurt, let's throw this one to you. What are your thoughts on either of those fees? Are you supportive of these things going forward? Do you like how they're written? Do you have concerns? Where do you stand at this point?
Well, maybe I'll take the easiest one first, which would be the cruise ship fees.
Okay.
That's something that was been, you know, brought forth by the people that are in the industry, and you know, they suggest that that would be a good way to come up with some money for the infrastructure that we need around the community. So I'm in favor of that one. We just have to try to figure out who's going to collect the fees, whether or not that's going to get thrown on the Harbor Department, or if that's going to, you know, there'll be a whole nother, you know, committee or you know, like a maybe chamber or somebody, you know, collects that money, because there will be some administrative costs associated with that if the Harbor does it. So I just talked to Glow today, and that was something that if we want to use all of the money, then probably ought to be, you know, probably through the chamber or something. I mean, that can be discussed. Now, for the senior citizen sales tax exemption, that is like a really loaded question for me, because I believe that there's so much abuse with this system right now that it really needs to be looked at and revamped. You know, I think the original intent in the 80s was good. I don't think it was ever meant to be something that it was a handout. I think it was supposed to be a hand up. You know, people just seem to think that it's an entitlement now. I mean, unfortunately, it's from the, I've been ranting all over town today on this one. I didn't realize that the boomers were actually called the me generation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly what we're doing here. You know, we're all just making sure that we take care of ourselves, you know, and this is a community. You know, I think we need to look at, you know, what is a need versus, you know, what the community needs. You know, I mean, in the sense of finances and stuff, you know. We got people that are on senior citizen sales tax exemptions, you know, that wouldn't qualify under, you know, the state programs or the federal programs. So, you know, and we have less and less, you know, people paying taxes now, and more taking advantage of this system. I just think we just need to look at it, amend it, and put it on the ballot and see if it'll float, you know, with maybe with some restrictions instead of just wide open, you know, it being abused.
So to be clear, what you're looking at tonight is just an administrative fee, and that doesn't even have to go on the ballot. You guys can approve that without a public vote.
Yeah,
but you think the overall exemption itself should go back on the ballot in some form?
Yeah, well, I think we need to amend it a little bit, you know, so it goes back and captures the original intent instead of the way it is now. Okay, so I'll get back to the fee. Talking with the administration, Jody, she thinks that, you know, she can justify the $60 fee, you know, and that's what it costs to her administration to, you know, to administer those. And so I think that's reasonable. You know, I mean, it shouldn't be costing the borough even more money to give out these cards, you know, if these people are, you know, eligible for it. So.
And some of the thinking in proposing this fee is that maybe this will deter some seniors who really don't need it and decide it's not worth going and paying the $60 a year to get. Jay, do you think that's going to work to bump down that number of people who are claiming the senior exemption?
I mean, it may or may not, but I think something I'm considering doing tonight is amending it to make it a $100 fee flat. I like that in case there's any unforeseen costs, unforeseen administrative fees, and it gives a little bit of an inflation-proof bubble to it. So not like 2 years from now, we're not raising it again to meet cost. One thing I do like about this ordinance is the exemption for low-income seniors. Those we believe we took the language from the utilities for low-income exemptions, signing an affidavit attesting that you make less than $20,000 per household, I believe it reads. I mean, because those are the people that we really need to look out for, those who are in true financial need, and they need to be protected for it. Kind of echoing what Kurt said in terms of the broader sense of putting something on the ballot, I would definitely be in favor of removing the senior exemption except for those in financial need, because some people really do need that, and as a community, we must look out for them.
And this fee, as I read it, does have that allowance to waive the fee if people make under $20,000 a year.
Correct. That was a really important piece for me to have in there because, again, they need to be looked after.
Hoping for more public comment tonight?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay. And, Jay, how do you stand on the fee? Are you supportive of this going forward if you get it amended? Or?
I think either way I'll support it, but yes is the short answer. I'm in favor of it.
Okay. And how about the cruise ship fee? Kurt already talked about that one. Do you think that one should go forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a ton of money. I think I believe it was something like $30,000-some. I'm probably a little bit off, but enough to help with infrastructure, keep the bathrooms clean, keep things shoveled, you know, whatever, just to help harbor maintenance.
Okay. All right, 772-3808 is our phone number. A reminder, you're welcome to call in with a question or comment while we're talking about these or any of the other topics. We're going to move on and touch on some of the other items on the agenda because there are a lot. You'll be talking tonight about how to pay for some of the cost of that newly remodeled municipal building downtown. And the bill isn't as big as it originally thought it was going to be. It was going to be $1.3 million out of the electric department reserves. But it turns out it's just $464,000-some. And the borough manager has put up a couple different options for you guys to consider about maybe not taking that out of electric department reserves. Kurt, what are your thoughts on that one? Do you like either option, rebate money from SEPA or just the general fund reserves themselves?
Well, if we use the general fund reserves, you know, we could eventually be tapping into the electrical budget reserves, you know, to borrow money from them. So I'm thinking if we just use the SEPA money now and then, you know, then keep the money that we have in our reserves, you know, for other times, you know. So, I mean, I think we should pay for it if we can, you know, instead of using general fund reserves. And then, so I'm going to be in favor of doing the SEPA rebate.
That was a pretty big rebate this past year, $600,000.
Yep.
And for people who don't know, that's the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. That's the organization that sells electricity to the Petersburg utility at wholesale, and then Petersburg turns around and sells that as well. Jay, your thoughts? You like either of those plans?
I agree with Member Wolhuter. I believe the SEPA rebate, given how large it is, it's $685,158. Pay off the $464,711, still leaves us about $200,000 to put back into power and light reserves, which is a little below what we usually put in there, but it's I like that as opposed to taking out a loan and paying interest on it. It just makes sense. It seems really linear to me.
And that rebate money in the past few years has gone towards covering the cost of the diesel downtime, right? When the electrical lines being worked on, would we still have enough to cover that cost and not have to bump up rates or anything? Yeah.
Doesn't appear so.
Yeah.
I mean, even with that 200 some thousand, that's not that far below past rebates.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We do have a caller on line. Line one, you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask the panel about the abuse. They talk about the abuse from the senior citizens. I've never heard any of the listings of how people are abusing this exemption. And I do have an exemption card, and I wouldn't mind paying to have $60 to $100, that whatever it takes for the infrastructure. However, some of the things that the seniors are exempt from are also in state law, like the property tax, the vehicle licensing. That's all exempt also. So I was just kind of interested in what they consider abuse in the local community.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
Good. I'm glad you asked that question because I'll be more than happy to answer that for you. Twice now, I have personally witnessed a senior buying groceries for a younger family member. I mean, I don't believe that a senior is going to be buying 2- and 3-month-old diapers and baby formula. And so that's what I mean by abuse. I mean, there's actually a fee or a fine if you do that. I mean, we've never enforced those fines. It's $100 if you buy something for other than yourself. And if somebody were to take your card with your permission, let's just say, and go to the store and use it, or your number even, without you physically being there, that's like a $300 fine, you know. But we've never enforced these
fees.
You can't expect the stores to do it, to police it. And then the other thing is, if you have a commercial fishing business or any kind of a commercial venture, whether it be a B&B or I've seen people buying fishing gear with their tax exempt cards, and You know, and so that's what I'm saying. It's too loose right now, and that's what I mean by abuse.
Devil's advocate here, though. There are seniors who fish, right?
Yes, that's very true. But, you know, you cannot buy commercial fishing gear with it. I mean, it's clearly spelled out that it can't be for commercial ventures. It's supposed to be for personal use only and for that individual only, not for family members. Okay. Now, and then I've heard, you know, anecdotally from other people that have come up to me since I've been talking about abuse, you know, on the streets, you know, for months, that have told me the same thing, you know, that they've stood behind people. And in fact, there's people even in the administration that has actually seen the same thing happen, and they've expressed that to me, you know, that they're not sure, you know, why, you know, whoever the senior was buying these certain items when it didn't fit the MO, you know, for them. So anyway, so it's just little things that need to be tightened up, I think, you know. I mean, why do we have the fines and the fees in there if they're not enforceable? And, you know, and if you don't qualify for, I mean, you know, we have 550 people. Now, I'm not sure exactly how many are actually using the card, but, you know, I mean, it's beginning to look a lot like the senior you know, the, I mean, not senior citizen, but the, you know, Social Security system. You know, we're going to be upside down here pretty soon, where there's going to be more people taking than giving. And I'm 62, so I'm only, well, almost 63, so I'm only just a couple of years away. And I just don't see how we're going to be able to maintain the lifestyle that we have right now if more and more people, you know, are ducking out of, you know, picking up their fair share. I mean, the sales tax goes towards plowing the roads, you know, for EMS, for fire, for police, things like that, you know. I mean, if you've enjoyed those services, or at least knowing that they were available to you, you know, you pay for them by the year. Nobody's ever doubled down for 10 years, you know, and so they could sit for 10 years and not pay, you know. So, I mean, I just think that, you know, we really need to, as a community, evaluate, you know, what the intent of this ordinance was. It's not an entitlement, you know. It's something that we did in the 80s, early 80s, you know, to help those that didn't, you know, that just needed a little more. Not those that have theirs now, you know, and then just are taking advantage of it, you know. And I see too much of that. There's a list out there. If somebody wants to get on that list and take a look and see, you know, who's actually getting it, and more power to them, because we gave them the right to do that. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of people on that list that I know that are probably netting way more than I am, you know, and good for them. But I'm just saying, you know, that I'm not going to take the exemption when time comes if I'm still, you know, capable of paying my fair share, because I want my roads plowed, I want EMS, I want fire, I want police, I want the library, I want the gym, all those things. So,
okay, sorry, we kept a caller waiting a while here. Caller on line one, you have a question or comment?
Hi, is that me?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, hi, this is Joe Sebastian. I listened to the news this morning. There was something, I don't know where it came from, dropped out of the sky, something about some kind of roadless. I'm not sure what it was exactly. Maybe you can describe what it is and where it came from and who's behind it and why now, of all times, is this issue have to be readdressed by the Petersburg Assembly?
Okay, thanks for the comment. This is a resolution on repealing the roadless rule. And guys, am I wrong? Is this something to do with Southeast Conference? And I think Cindy Lagadakis, the representative of Southeast Conference, is asking for Petersburg's official opinion on this measure. Is this right?
Yep, you're correct. And then consequently, Mayor Jensen has to put it on the agenda.
Okay, so taking the temperature of the current borough assembly on this issue. Caller, does that answer your question?
It does, but for what purpose? I mean, I understand that there's a red flag in front of our faces to say, oh, yeah, Cindy said in Southeast Conference. Trust me, there's way more structure behind the Southeast Conference. Where is this really coming from?
Okay. We don't have an answer for you on that yet, so maybe we'll hear more tonight. But thank you for the call. Do you have an opinion one way or another on that resolution?
Well, I have to suggest this is a bogus gesture. The Supreme Court already ruled in favor of roadless against the state of Alaska, and Alaska undeterred trying to push it through a second time. They keep fighting the same battle over and over and over again. It's kind of like, reminds me of election half a dozen years ago, where I remember hearing, get over it. And I believe that one of our senators, the dearly beloved one from Washington, D.C., were behind this gesture, using the Southeast Conference as a front. I don't know why they just can't be honest about it. This is really has no place even being addressed at this time. The Supreme Court passed on it outside of another huge battle of the Supreme Court or moved by Congress itself on it. It's a law that stands and for a good reason. So I'm a little bit upset that somebody's kind of greasing the wheels in the background.
Okay, thanks. Hey, we're going to try to get a couple more calls on here, but thanks, Joe, for calling.
Thank you very much, Joe. And as far as court, I want to remind you, 62, you wait a few more years, you might be in diapers. And you'll be buying child diapers. Somebody will think they're for your grandchildren. But that would be for you, and maybe that's what those other people wanted them for. So, you know, just be careful about the diapers. You don't know who needs them for what. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks. We do have a couple more calls here. I'll try to get them on the air here. Caller on line 3, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have more of I would like to see a resolution sent to the state of Alaska this year to the legislative for ending the budget crisis. It's going on the fourth year, and we've been told they're going to keep doing it. I just would like to see the community from the council and said that this is the year it has to be done to our senators and to the House and the Senate representatives.
Okay.
Thank you for that feedback.
All right. Guys, any thoughts about that while I get the next caller on here?
No, I think the caller makes good points. We want a functional government, and what JKT was putting forward makes a lot of sense to help ensure that.
Okay, caller on line 2, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Joe, I have a couple comments. One was just on what the last caller brought up and what Jay was talking about, what Jonathan Crace Tompkins brought out, having the legislature not get any per diem after the 120-day session if they don't pass the budget. Statewide, we got over almost 50,000 signatures, 45,000 signatures to move that forward to encourage the legislature to actually do their job, which would be nice, and pass a budget. The other thing I wanted to get onto was the senior tax exemption. My wife and I make a grand total of $12,000 a year in Social Security, and we would have no problem paying taxes. And so I think I'd like to see it done away with, because as Kurt talked about earlier, the reason for it doesn't exist anymore. And the state isn't supporting us like they used to, so we need to support our own community. And seniors use more services than others. We pay at least $200,000 to help support assisted living in the manor. And that comes out of the general fund and taxes. So seniors need to be supportive, and I think that $60 fee should be at least $250, or do away with senior tax exemption would be my preference. But that'd be my other thing. And the other last comment I had was that the borough needs to start cutting back and saving money, and I think that should be go along with the senior tax seniors giving up their taxes. They should get something in return, and that should be the borough cutting back. And one of the easiest things is on the you not getting another power and light superintendent. This past holidays, we had the coldest time ever, a lot of snow, a lot of ice, and everything worked beautifully. So why spend $200,000 a year for a new power and light superintendent when the people we have are doing a great job and it's not broken, it's working well? So let's save that $200,000 and look for other places to cut spending too.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for bringing up that last topic. I definitely want to get on that before we lose our assembly members who've got to go off elsewhere soon. The reorganization of the electrical department, is that back up on the table eventually? Potentially?
Yeah, that's an issue that came to mind for me, being that right now we've learned through the first bout of recruitment that we really can't afford what the market is paying for that position down south right now. And on our second round, we've got 3 applicants, all from down south, who applied the first time around and weren't viable. kind of echoing what John, who just called in, said, is as a consequence of that, I think, well, I know I'm going to propose to the Assembly that we direct the borough manager and borough clerk to revise the necessary ordinances and try to hire Carl Hagerman as utility director and Chris Cotta as a public works director. In year one, we'd save approximately $150,000, because about 30 some of that is relocation cost. And beyond that, it's a savings of approximately $116,000 annually. We do need to find ways to reduce government. That's a piece of feedback we've been given a lot. And increase efficiencies. And with Carl Hagerman, we've got a person who's talented and excited. He's been doing this job for 6 months, or was in that position for 6 months, and he wants to learn more. He'll need some more training for that, of course, but it's gone really well over the course of this time. And I think of a homegrown talent like Carl. Let's turn him loose. This is something he really wants to do, like he's shown great interest in. Let's use his skill set. Give him a new challenge. And like John Haverlick just called in and said, I think it's a great opportunity for us to save money as a borough, too. So I'm going to be proposing that to the Assembly tonight.
And the Assembly's been split on that issue. The vote was close in the fall when you decided to go ahead with advertising the job. I can't remember what it was, 4-3 or something like that. But, Kurt, what are your thoughts on that reorganization versus continuing to advertise and seeking a new person?
Well, with recent information here, you know, it sounds like that the two, you know, that the three people, you know, that are probably were most affected by this, and that's Scott and then Carl, and then there was another employee there that, you know, that I think it got off to kind of a bumpy start because it was something new. It sounds now like that everybody's kind of holding hands now and singing kumbaya, you know. I mean, they're, you know, they like the way things are going, you know. So if you've got the linemen, you know, that like the way things are going, and if you've got the you know, the people that understand the system, you know, like the way things are going, and Carl likes what he's doing, then I agree. You know, I think if we can save some money here and there, I mean, we can always drop back and punt, you know, if things don't work, you know, I mean, but I think we ought to give this a, you know, a little bit more of a chance. And it's a great way of saving money. I mean, we all talk about it, but nobody's willing to step up and actually do it. So, we're expecting the federal government, you know, to kind of, you know, balance the budget. We're expecting the state to do the same thing, but yet we're not willing to do it ourselves, you know, when we have an opportunity. I just think it's, we need to take a chance, you know, and it's not like a serious one either, because there's plenty of people in this town, you know, that could get things up and running if something were to go haywire, you know. So I think that's probably a really good option right now.
Okay. We do have one more call. I know Jay has to leave in a couple minutes here, but caller on line one, you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment about the senior tax exemption. You know, how many times have we voted getting rid of it? And every time it's been kept. And I believe food prices are never going to go down. You know, that's the biggest expense for seniors, food. So I don't believe we should be getting rid of it, you know.
Hey, Ross, can I ask you a question if you're still there?
Yes.
Hey, what if we put some parameters on it? I know Juno just allows for food and heating oil. Would you be in favor of something like that, you know, for senior citizens' exemptions? Or do you think it should just be across the table? They could go out and buy a new outboard or a new whatever, you know, and have tax exempt. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, there's not a whole lot of senior citizens going out buying motors and stuff, and like I say, you know, most of them by that time are just thinking about living, about eating, you know. So
so now you can see why this is kind of a tough thing, you know, because, you know, we all see different things, you know, happening, and you know, we know different people, you know, that are you know, as I call abusing, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the system, you know, with buying stuff that they you know, that isn't allowed, you know, under the ordinance. But so yeah, no, it's not an easy thing to consider, for sure. But don't get me wrong, I'm not looking at eliminating it altogether, because I totally understand there's some that need a hand up, you know. And so I just want to make sure that it you know, it reflects what the intent of the original ordinance was. So thank you for your comment, though.
Thanks for the call. And we might even have more calls rolling in. I know Jay's got to leave pretty soon. We'll try to get a couple more calls here. And let's see, get this on the air. Caller on line three, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'd like to express my concern about the roadless rule resolution. I think that this is a very lamentable sort of last-minute approach that needs a whole lot more examination and discussion than what is apparently going to be provided here. I think we need to understand how we got in this situation to begin with. And it's unfortunate that Joe Sebastian's call was so filled with audio distortion that he wasn't always understandable. But the point being here is that there are important considerations to make in regards to the political attempts to overrule something that has been an incredible benefit to Southeast Alaska and its communities. And I'd urge everyone to take a deep breath and examine this issue before they do a bum's rush to accomplish something that is not in their best interest. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. And one more quick call. We'll get on the air, and I'm going to cut it off after this. And caller on. Oop, we lost him anyway. All right, sorry about that. Well, any other topics? I know we barely scratched the surface of those, but any other topics you want to mention before we run out of here?
I think, as always, I'd like to encourage people to, even talking about the utility director kind of things, that was a contentious issue in the spring and summer. Like, I'd strongly encourage people, because if we bring that up tonight, that'd be 8 weeks worth of public process, because we'd have to reread some ordinances. That's 2 months to really have people. We like hearing from people's feedback on that, either for or against, both. We really want people to come forward and give us their opinions. We know that we listen, like people, you know, whether it be writing, calling, or showing up in a meeting and telling us what they feel. It's that important to us on the assembly.
And there's more opportunity for that this week. There's another budget open house coming up Thursday night, 4 to 6, I think it is. So did you guys attend the first? Was there a good turnout at that one? Or?
No, I stayed clear of that. I'm really glad that Steve's doing that as a borough manager. I think it's great for him to be in the public eye and really facilitating that. But I believe there's, I'm not sure if you've seen it, he's compiled some feedback he got from the participants.
Not yet, but I know he's going to do that at the end with all of it. So
good feedback so far.
Kurt, anything from tonight's meeting that we should mention before we?
No, there's a lot of things on the agenda. So if you've got an opinion, be sure and show up. I mean, like Jay said, you know, we're willing to listen, and you know, it helps form our decisions. You know, when you guys show up and or write to us or let us know what your opinions are. And I might also add that if you really feel strongly about a particular issue, every October, you know, first part of November, there's seats open. You know, pick
there,
one.
There you go.
And then run for it. You know, then your vote counts.
Okay. Thanks for coming in today and fielding calls with me, guys.
Sorry, we didn't have more time.
That's okay. Tonight at 6 p.m. in the Borough Assembly Chambers, and please turn out if you have more opinions on this. There's plenty of opportunity to get your voice heard there. Coming up next, we have Street Beat music, and hopefully Ross is coming in right now with that music.